Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Thursday, December 18th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. An area south of Cheyenne was evacuated last night due to a grass fire driven by extreme winds across southeast Wyoming. The order was lifted a few hours later for most homes. Firefighters worked through the night and the blaze was contained late last evening. The fire had been threatening the Winchester Hills and Bison Crossing subdivisions. Residents were evacuated to South High School. The fire was first reported around 4:30 yesterday afternoon along I-25 near Terry Ranch Road, which was temporarily closed but reopened later last night. More than two dozen local and state agencies, nonprofits, and area businesses helped in the response. Wyoming's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate rose to 3.3% in September. That's 0.1% higher than August, but a bit lower than September of last year. The State Department of Workforce Services says most counties saw modest rises in unemployment rates. The biggest were in Campbell, Fremont, Park, Sweetwater, and Weston counties. Compared to September of last year, unemployment rates rose in 18 counties, remained the same in three, and fell in Johnson and Teton counties. The U.S.'s September rate was 4.4%. About a dozen towns around Wyoming will be counting birds this weekend. It's part of the Audubon Society's annual Christmas bird count. Wyoming Public Radio's Nikki Ouellette heard details from the Cheyenne chapter.
Grant Frost is hoping to see a Bohemian waxwing, a smallish gray bird with a riot of yellow and red on its wingtips.
They're so irregular as to where they show up. Sometimes they'll be up to 1,000 of them in a spot, and sometimes it'll be years between coming back.
Frost is helping organize Cheyenne's Christmas count, scheduled for Saturday. The goal is to tally the types and numbers of each species seen in a single day.
There's a rich history in these Christmas bird counts, and we've been doing it here for about, I think it's about 40, 50 years now. It's a way to contribute to long-term knowledge of what's going on in our world and our environment, and then it's also just a great way to meet a bunch of great people, too.
Counts are also set for Saturday in Green River, Lander, Cody, Sheridan, Casper, Albany County, and Jackson Hole. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
The U.S. House has passed a bill to better measure snowpacks and help communities respond to drought. Republican Representative Jeff Hurd of Colorado introduced the bill to help the Federal Bureau of Reclamation provide better data about water supplies.
Better data means better reservoir planning, better support for agriculture, better protection for our cities and towns, and better management across every industry that depends upon water in the West.
The bill reauthorizes the program through 2031. Representative Joe Neguse of Colorado was the lead Democratic sponsor of the bill, which now heads to the Senate, where Colorado Democrat John Hickenlooper and Utah Republican John Curtis have introduced a companion bill. One state in our region is the first in the nation to set up its own rules to protect wetlands and streams after federal protections were stripped away. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, advocates say it could be a model for other states.
Colorado took a major step last week by finalizing rules for a novel state-run permitting program. It applies to waters that used to be federally protected. That is, until a U.S. Supreme Court ruling 2 years ago drastically limited which wetlands and streams are covered. Now, when companies want to dig out a ditch or fill in a wetland in these Colorado waters, they'll need a state permit. Stu Gillespie is a lawyer with environmental nonprofit Earth Justice. He says this will also benefit states downstream.
The state in Colorado will always be providing that backstop, and that's what all other states should be doing.
Gillespie says the backstop is now more important as the Federal Environmental Protection Agency seeks to further shrink water safeguards. New Mexico is also developing a state program to fill the gaps. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
Some military veterans never received their retirement benefits during the government shutdown. Laura Hatch with the Public News Service spoke with a vet in Montana.
Billings veteran Daniel Struckman says he got a notification via email at the end of October that he wouldn't be receiving any money. He served during the Vietnam War and retired as a commissioned officer after 17 years as a medical clinic pharmacist for the U.S. Public Health Service. He says this hasn't happened before.
It really surprised me. It's just unprecedented. I thought I was immune from such things.
Struckman and about 7,500 other public health service veterans found themselves in the same situation. The lapse also affected about 500 military retirees from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's largely due to the length of the shutdown and a funding oversight. These two groups get their pensions from appropriated funds each year, rather than from the Military Retirement Fund, which pays for all other branches of the military. Congress allocates money for that fund in advance, so most retired veterans got their benefits during the shutdown. I'm Laura Hatch, reporting.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Teton County volunteers are heading to Mexico to build homes. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports Teton Habitat partnered with Habitat Mexico for the next 5 years. In a coincidence, they're heading to Tlaxcala, a place where many Jacksonites can trace their heritage back to. A beloved longtime Evanston restaurant got a little renovation thanks to some volunteers. The Uinta County Herald reports Mother May's Kitchen is owned by 82-year-old May and Marvin Munoz. The restaurant got an upgrade to hard plank flooring from old carpet, new indoor and outdoor signs, and a new air fryer and ice machine, all installed by friends and neighbors. Another beloved establishment, this time in Powell, is back up and running thanks to a community rally. The Powell Tribune reports Valley Twin Cinema closed for a couple months due to a lull in theatergoers. But the community wouldn't have it. A fundraiser was launched on Facebook and a raffle for prizes from local businesses was arranged. Warmed by the community's spontaneous response, the theater reopened and has movies lined up through January. And according to Tarot 2, Wyoming is the ninth best place for a winter getaway. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question, and this one seems appropriate for today. What is the highest wind gust ever recorded in Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the correct answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, how many University of Wyoming alum are currently active NFL players? This season, there are 9 active former UW players in the NFL. Of course, the most notable is Buffalo Bills starting quarterback Josh Allen. Congratulations to Jonathan Anders, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.